On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, yes, hi, how are you? Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Friday to you on this seventh day of September, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and we, I tell you, these four-day work weeks, they're great, aren't they? I don't know. I hope you got a four-day work week out of it, with Labor Day on Monday. But so here we are, and we've got a couple things going on today. What's his first name? George Papadopoulos is going to be sentenced sometime this afternoon. We've been looking for a time. We can't find it, so we'll let you know how. Are they going to give him a slap on the wrist? Or are they going to send him away to a Siberian prison for the rest of his life? We'll wait and see what happens with him. And we got CBS is apparently negotiating with Les Moonves to give him a check for $100 million to go away. And so I'm thinking, if you wouldn't mind, could I sexually harass you, and then you report me, turn me in, and then I'll negotiate $100 million. And seriously, for you ladies out there, doesn't this make mockery of the Me Too movement? It's like, okay, so I can harass you and pinch you, and I can do all these things, and what happens? I get a big fat check. So we got that to get to. But I want to start off with what still is water cooler topic number one, which is that the New York Times op-ed. And so everybody's still trying to do the whodunit sort of thing, and they're trying to figure this whole thing out. The president has asked Jeff Sessions, his dear, dear, dear close attorney general, to investigate the author of the anonymous New York Times op-ed. And a lot of people today in the media are mocking him because of the fact he says it's falls under national security. And so, I know this isn't like giving away the name of a top spy in Tehran or anything like that. But if you're thwarting, if you're trying to interfere with the president of the United States, I know there's a lot of you that love him. I know there's a lot of you that hate him. But it doesn't matter. He was elected. He's the president. And who are you to thwart him? So when you go national security, well, then if the president and his job and everything about whoever occupies the Oval Office is not national security, then why do we have Secret Service? Why don't we just let him drive himself around and need some food, have him go down to the grocery store? No, we protect the President of the United States because we don't want anybody to interfere or hurt him or get in his way in his going out about the duties of his job. And so the fact that somebody is doing that, no, it's not like they're pulling a gun on him and shooting him, but it is somebody who is trying to stop him. And isn't that what Lee Harvey Oswald wanted to do, was to stop John Kennedy? Isn't that, well, I mean, this is not at that same level, but it's in the same paragraph. And so people laugh about the fact that, well, this is about national security. He says, it's just about the fact that he's a buffoon and he's in there and he's goofing around. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's stupid. Why, of course, we've got to go. Somebody's got to go in there and save the country. No, somebody's actually harming the president, and I don't think you would like anybody to harm him physically, but isn't this in the same area of harming him, of his ability to go do his job? Very interesting. I was reading about Woodrow Wilson this morning. I know. I have a really exciting life. So Woodrow Wilson and FDR is another one comes to mind. But Woodrow Wilson had a severe stroke in his second term. And as a result, Edith, Mrs. Wilson, was basically taking care of, not only taking care of him, but also there was one guy also besides Mrs. Wilson who basically ran the office of the president. And good old Woodrow, the stroke was so debilitating that he could not function. But they were able, through his wife and his aide, to basically carry out the functions of the presidency. And they did it in a way that nobody knew. They hid it. I don't know how many people knew, but they basically kept it hidden. And I talk about FDR because FDR was also, you know, he was stricken with polio. He was in a wheelchair. He could not walk. And yet they did everything in their power to make sure, and the media went along with it. They knew, the people that covered the president, they knew that he could not walk, that he was paralyzed from in his legs. Polio had taken the muscles of his legs away from him. And yet they pretended so that the nation did not know that we had a president with a big disability. His disability was not one that affected his mind, yeah, but Woodrow Wilson was seriously ill with the effects of a stroke. So it's interesting that we have people that are there to help a president complete their tasks. And the last thing you want is somebody that's in there interfering with somebody who is with the president who's trying to complete tasks of the presidency. He's the man. He was elected. So there's an article out of Slate magazine today, slate.com, and who wrote this thing? William Salatin. And I went, oh, this is a good suspect. John Huntsman. Yes. John Huntsman, the U.S. ambassador to Russia. And they've gone through, and everybody's doing this now, going through and parsing every single word. He is a senior official in the Trump administration. He would lose his job if he was the guy who was found out. You can take the ambassadorship away from him. He has been, he was former governor of Utah. He has been in tight. He was an ambassador to China. He was tight with the Clintons. He was tight with President Obama. And when he did run for president, he did not get very far because he is a liberal Republican. He's a Republican, but he hangs out on the left side of the aisle. And so I look at this and I think, So he likes some of the conservative policies. He likes the tax cuts, all that sort of stuff. But he is very blunt about people with amoral behavior. So I think Slate, I moved John Huntsman up to my number one suspect in all of this. Now, you look at the number of people who have already come out and said, I did not do it. And you'll notice there's some people missing. First of all, I have not declared that. I still have held back. Seriously, the there are two people that have not denied writing the op-ed. Only one cabinet member. Only one. You know who that is? One cabinet member has held back. Everybody else in the cabinet has said, not me. I did not write that. Don't look at me. And there's also another very, very top official in the White House who has not gotten on the I did not write it list. The cabinet member is Jeff Sessions. And there's as much as, and it is interesting to see, and I heard the president last night at his rally in Montana talking about this. He said even the liberals that hate him say this is wrong. And he's right. There's a lot of people on the left that are going, this. I played some examples of it yesterday. People from the Obama administration saying this is wrong. This is just wrong. Jeff Sessions, I would almost understand if he did, because he has been treated so poorly by this president. Donald Trump has abused him so badly. But I don't think it's Sessions, because Sessions is like a choir boy. He's a Boy Scout about the law and the Department of Justice. I mean, he really is dedicated to the law, and I don't think he would go against the president or the country in writing that. The other one that's missing, that's a very top official that has not denied writing, is John Kelly. General John Kelly. And I, you go, well, General Kelly is a man of honor, and I think he would not lie, so he's not saying anything. But I like what Slate has come up with. I can see John Huntsman. He's a wannabe president. He is a politician. He wants the glory. He wants the fame. And he hangs out on the left side of the aisle. I'll bet you it's John Huntsman makes all the sense in the world to me. But all right. Phone number here, 855. The whodunit is still continuing. 855-295-6600. You can find my phone numbers and all the ways to contact the show on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely John Huntsman. I will put a large lunch in the drive-up window on. It just fits. So, speaking of fitting, I was laughing this morning. I saw some guy was all upset, very, very upset about Zina Bash. You know who Zina Bash is? She is the young woman who sits right behind Kavanaugh in the hearings. And she is a lawyer. I believe she is one of his law clerks. She is, her parents are from Mexico. She's from Mexico. I'm not sure if she's born there or here. She is Jewish. And they're accusing her of making white supremacist signs behind Judge Kavanaugh. Because of the fact that, you know, the OK symbol where you take your thumb and your forefinger and your other three fingers kind of wave in the breeze. The OK, yeah, OK, all right. And she apparently was itching her arm or something. And in doing so, it looked like she was giving the OK signal. And apparently the white supremacists, that's a sign that they say that belongs to them. So people are now concerned that she is a white supremacist. A Mexican girl that's Jewish. Come on, folks. Come on. So what she did yesterday, this happened 2 days ago, and it spread across the internet. And so yesterday, I love this woman's sense of humor, because she just clearly put up the OK sign right behind him. And people bought it hook, line, and sinker. She trolled the trollers who don't know they're being trolled. They're too stupid. very funny. So I put that on our Facebook page, a photo of her, a screen grab of her doing that yesterday. All right, phone number here is 855-295-6600. Wesley in California. Hi, Wesley. Welcome.
Hey, Tom. I rarely disagree with you, but this time I do. I think the magazine's exaggerated this person's importance. It'll be a lower-level staffer with small and petty motivations. And I learned it from you, listening to you, even Deep Throat. You know, he was angry that Nixon passed him over for promotion in the FBI.
Right.
This is no high-minded save the country. This is something small and petty.
Well, his complaints were small, but the New York Times identified him as a senior administration official. So
they're exaggerating his importance to blow up their own importance of their program. And, you know, this is nothing new. They've done this before. Wager me that fast food lunch, Tom. We'll see.
What you think we're going to find out? I do.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. There's no question we'll find out.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, if I was the president, I'd be polygraphing those people because I'd want to know right now, how can they get anything done with suspicion of each other? And, you know, he's got to solve this. He's got to clean this up.
Yes. And so I saw this, some political analyst somewhere talking about, no, that'll never work. Can you imagine lining up everybody on the staff? Okay, we're all going to line up for the lie detector test. And I'm going, actually, I could see people volunteering and saying, give me a lie detector test so you can cross me off your list. I am a supporter. I'm doing my job for the administration, for the country. I would think they would want to.
Let's get back to business.
Yes.
Yes.
Because how are they ever going to get back to business if they know that Judas sits among them?
Yeah, well, didn't the president say something about having the Justice Department investigate this?
Yeah, he's asked Jeff Sessions to look into it. And that's why I say people were making fun of him because he said it's a national security matter. And I know this isn't a violent act, but it's the same bottom line of trying to stop a president of the United States from completing their constitutional duties. Whether you like the way they do it or not, that's what they're doing, is somebody is trying to stop a president from being president. And I think
it's somebody with a smaller, pettier motive with some axe to grind.
All right, okay. So you and I will have to have a lunch bet or something on this one here because I think it's John Huntsman. I do, but and who was it, Andy? You said that somebody had, or you were going to send me that. Did you send me that article? There's somebody that said, here it is. Out of the Washingtonian, book agents, anonymous op-ed writer could get a seven-figure deal. I don't think so. I really don't. Wesley, thank you. I appreciate the call. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Sure do. Talking about I think this guy over at the Slate has a nail. I think John Huntsman's the author of all of this. I'll get into the super details on it in just a minute. I mean, I literally it'll startle you. The words let me just give you one little hint here. The topic that gets the most space in the op-ed is about Russia and Putin. Huntsman is the ambassador to Russia. And we know that Donald Trump has been circumventing and undermining a lot of his ambassadors, including John Huntsman. The tone, they write, is like Huntsman's. It's pious. He's always come across as pious. And the article stated motive, Americans should know that there are adults in the room, matches a letter that John Huntsman wrote to the Salt Lake Tribune in July. Americans should know there are adults in the room, exact phrase he wrote in July to the Salt Lake Tribune. It's full of tons of telltale words and phrases. I'll give you those in just a minute. Let's get Mike in here from New Mexico. Mike, welcome. Hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, what's going on? It's Trump.
It's what? It's Trump?
It's Trump. It's Trump. Yeah, Trump got the money to write this.
Well, I was talking about that yesterday, that he has a history of calling the New York media when he was a local guy in New York and pretending to be somebody else and issuing statements about how he was doing such a wonderful job. So,
well, I'm not even saying he actually wrote it, but it's brilliant what he's doing. I mean, I'm not a fan of his, but this is brilliant. How do you continue to deep state and get your base fired up?
Yep.
Then you continue a story like this because the tax cuts aren't working. People are mad about those tax cuts.
Well,
but this right here continues that somebody's out to get me. It's whoever it is inside. They don't want to drain the swamp. All of that ties in with this. It's him.
I'll give you one more to your argument. What came out the day before? Bob Woodward's book. So
yeah.
Who is the master at changing the topic? Donald Trump.
Him all day. I mean, he's brilliant at it. So
yeah.
It's him.
So if you want to get people to stop talking about Bob Woodward, Mike, I like it. I do. I don't. I'm not. You don't hear me saying, "Oh, you're crazy." No, I know.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It is very brilliant. I mean, he's done this throughout his career, 40 years. You're not going to change somebody in their 60s.
True. 70. He's 72. 72
oh,
years
70.
Old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to change him. And then, you know, he's worked in media. I mean, he's, you know, he had the show, The Apprentice. So, I mean, he's ratings. The whole thing is all fits him. All of it.
Well, he used to do it on an irregular basis with the New York media for years and years and years. So, all right. You know, in fact, you know his son's name is Barron, right? He used to call the various newspapers in New York, and I forget the first name, but the name he used was something like it was John Barron. So he likes the name Barron, and so when his son comes along, he names him after the false name that he used to call the media with. It's hilarious. Anyway, all right. Hey, Mike, thank you. I appreciate the call. Here are some of the telltale words and phrases. Back to John Huntsman. The op-ed glorifies the late John McCain, calls him a lodestar. I know that's what Mike Pence used, but also it was used by Henry Kissinger at McCain's memorial service on September 1st at the National Cathedral. And who did I see sitting about three or four rows back behind the presidents, Obama and George W. Bush and Bill Clinton? They, four rows back from them, there was John Huntsman sitting there. I thought, that's interesting. It concludes with the line, "This is a quiet resistance within the administration of people choosing to put country first." Country First was McCain's presidential campaign slogan in 2008. Huntsman, who idolized John McCain, adopted the same slogan for his 2012 presidential campaign, Country First. Huntsman flew back from Moscow to attend the memorial service. Like I said, I saw him there. And the op-ed aims its most specific criticism at Donald Trump's coddling of Vladimir Putin. And there's a lot of detail about what Trump said and did, and it's exactly the subject on which John Huntsman would be most likely to have the inside information. There's another one. Malign, which is more correct in this context than the word malignant, but malign is one of Huntsman's favorite words, and it was used in this op-ed. Especially, John Huntsman uses malign when talking about Russia. last year at his confirmation hearing, John Huntsman repeatedly denounced Russia's malign activity. This summer, in briefings and interviews leading up to the July 16th summit in Helsinki, Huntsman criticized Russia's malign activity, malign activities, malign events. He used it over and over and over again, and it shows up in this op-ed. Then we get to moorings. The op-ed criticizes Trump's amorality and says he's not moored to any discernible first principles. Amoral is an unusual word in politics. They usually prefer the term immoral. But it was a favorite word of John Huntsman's father, who used it to describe other politicians. Huntsman seems to prefer the word moorings. In 2009, he worried that the Republican Party had strayed from some of our moorings. 3 years later, Salt Lake Tribune reported Huntsman in a statement to the paper said he wanted his paper, sorry, he wanted his party to return to its moorings. Impetuous inclination. I mean, it goes on and on and on about these are words that John Huntsman uses regularly. 2006, he said of tax reform, we can't be too impetuous. 2011, he cautioned against hitting China with trade penalties in an impetuous unilateral way. He chastised Mitt Romney twice for an impetuous response to the attack in Benghazi. These are not common words. So it's inclination is another one. It would have been much simpler to write somebody's worst instincts or worst tendencies, but Huntsman likes to use the word inclination. He used it while talking about health care and troops in Afghanistan. He uses it a lot. And so these are the resemblances and coincidences. And somebody else will confess to writing the op-ed? I don't think so. These are, I mean, how many words have we got here that it's the same exact words that he has used before? So I am, as of today, I'm going to take the slate's recommendation. I think it's John Huntsman. 855-295-6600. We got to get our break in here. By the way, you can also, we are now registered with Amazon and Google. If you want to get the program, you can just say to Alexa, play Tom Sullivan Show. The same with the Google process is play Tom Sullivan Show. So you can find us there, and you can find all the links to the show on my website, TomSullivan.com. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
Well, one of the premier military guys, he's retired now, Admiral James Stavridis, says that the culmination, this is what's important about this, the culmination of pieces coming out against the Trump administration is damaging our international reputation.
I would simply say it's not just this one op-ed. I mean, this is Bob Woodard's book. It's, right. You know, let's face it, Omarosa's book. It's Fire and Fury book. You know, it's kind of a cumulative pattern here. And what worries me, we focus so much on the domestic implications of this, and we should. But, Hallie, there's a whole universe of the international world watching this very closely, and they tend to see it without the nuance that we do. They see it in black and white, and they're starting to pull that Watergate analogy because it's a kind of cartoon version for them. That weakens us in the world. It undermines us with our allies, and above all, it emboldens our opponents. So there's a international component to this that's very concerning alongside the domestic one that Michael was just talking about.
Yeah, they don't know. I mean, they're looking at this and going, what is going on in the United States? And then, of course, we can't do this subject without having a real expert on all of this. None other than Omarosa. Oh, my gosh. She's now speculating about who wrote the op-ed.
I put up some names on my Twitter, not to be coy or anything, but I suspected. I put Johnny DiStefano up. I also put up Bill Stepien, who is the political director for the Trump White House. And then I put up Nick Ayers, and I put a poll on my Twitter, and everybody chose Nick Ayers, who is out of Vice President Pence's office. I went back through some of my emails and some of the documents that came out of the Vice President's office, and I have to tell you that this op-ed is very similar to the style and the communication that comes out of his shop.
Yeah, well, it also is almost word for word what John Huntsman has written in the past. So, Chris, thank you for waiting. Hi, Chris. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Oh, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
I originally was a little doubtful, but the more I think about it, Meghan McCain left Fox to go to The View, and Abby Huntsman, her good friend, both of the two prominent men's daughters,
yep.
You know, you had alluded to, have left, and she's now going to The View, too. So
right.
It just seems like there's such a cohesiveness to your train of thought, the more I think about it.
Well, maybe. I mean, I know Meghan and I know Abby, and my office was on the same floor with theirs. I was kind of in the middle of the floor, not on the floor, uh-huh. But down the hallway. My office was kind of halfway from the front of the building to the back of the building. Abby's was at the back of the building, and Megan's was near the front of the building. It did not mean anything as far as ranking. It was simply facility said, here's your office. Here's the key. There you go. So they did not hang out. I never saw them hanging out together. I never did.
Well, it is known that they're very good personal friends, and I've seen a number of tweets, for instance, by each of them over the past couple of years alluding to their friendship and their support of each other. Again, this is speculation, but the more I thought about your comments about the two men being very close, it makes sense that, you know, knowing that the daughters are, it just could be more foundation to your theory.
And, well, this is not in any way to denigrate the late senator. May he rest in peace, but I mean, I think it's fair to say a lot of people thought that John McCain was a rhino, lot of people think that Huntsman is a rhino. So they're politically aligned with each other.
Yeah.
And Huntsman flew from Moscow to attend the memorial service in Washington on Saturday. So
further underscoring that connection, that tight connection and respect they had for each other.
Yes, and throw in the human emotional part of this where Huntsman is truly broken up by the death of his friend and a man that he felt was of kindred spirit. And he goes there, and I can see him sitting in the in his home or a hotel room or someplace, penning this thing out and going, I'm so upset about John McCain dying, and he was the last of that great breed, and we've got this president who's doing all this stuff that we don't agree with, and I can see him just jotting that stuff down and working it over a couple, two or three times, and then calling the New York Times.
Well, I think he sees a lot of his colleagues coming together in the quote-unquote bipartisan manner against Trump, so I think he could rationalize that his, you know, effort, if in fact he did do this, was for the bigger good. It is just too bad, because as you were saying about our reputation on the world stage, I think this is a coordinated effort. It is not so much a reflection on what President Trump has been able to accomplish, but the noise is just really hard to get past.
Yeah. And I don't know if that will backfire, because for the Democrat loyalists, they can't stand anything about this guy. but there's another large group out there of people who voted for him. They may not care for him much either, but they're not going to let somebody, you know, I can talk badly about my mother, but you can't. So I don't want anybody, you know, they're going to defend him. I think there will be a lot of middle-of-the-road Republicans who otherwise don't really care a lot for Trump either, but they don't want anybody interfering in an unfair way. And it is, well, there are both. I'm convinced there's both a coordinated attack going from the political parties, and that's what they do. So I get it. I don't have a problem with that. But it's, I think there is this group like John Huntsman, John McCain, and others that are just coming out of their shoes every day. Every day. It's a big deal to them.
Tom, when you made the point, what really is getting to me personally is all of these people are claiming to come from such a democratic place, you know, and such a love of this country. But what they are doing is unethical. And as you say, you know, there are political attacks on both sides, but these coordinated, underhanded, anonymous, you know, and in many cases blatant lying attacks are so unethical. It's really hard to buy that argument.
I find it also fascinating. I didn't care. I think Barack Obama, he'd be a great next-door neighbor. Love to go have a beer with the guy. He has a nice personality. I disagreed with 99% of what he said. But I didn't hate the guy. I don't know of anybody trying to overthrow Barack Obama. The right did not like what he was, his policy ideas. But the left is obsessed with, if you're not agreeing with me, I'm going to remove you from office, one way or the other. Anyway, Chris, thank you.